All right. Good evening, everybody. Good to see you back here this evening. Hope you've had a good afternoon. And look forward to a good time tonight. Daylight's a changing, ain't it? When does time change? What is it? First Sunday in November. So that's not too far away. So I like this one. We get to fall back. I was thinking about the other day. It gets 10 o'clock, I think. It's just 9 o'clock. I get another hour of sleep. So, all right. But it is good to be here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and just same announcements we had this morning. Again, just remember all of our services. I'll be much in prayer for that, of course. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll get started. Father, we sure are thankful for another day. Got another opportunity, Lord. And God, I just pray, Lord, you'd help us. God, to be the light and the salt that you've called us to be, Lord. And God, just to shine bright in these days. God, just put a taste in people's mouths. God, that would have a desire, God, to see you. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for our church family. God, you've been so good to us, Lord. And God, we just ask you once again, just meet the needs of the hour, Lord. And we'll give you the praise, honor, and glory for it all. For it's in Christ's precious and holy name we do pray. Amen. All right, grab a hymnal this evening.
All right, everybody stand, turn to number 96. First, second, and last stanza, He Abides. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the pilgrim way, for the hand of God in all my life I see. And the reason of my bliss, yes, the secret all is this, that the Comforter abides with me. He abides, He abides, hallelujah, He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. Once my heart was full of sin, once I had no peace within, till I heard how Jesus died upon the tree. Then I fell down at His feet, and there came a peace so sweet, now the Comforter abides with me. He abides, He abides, hallelujah, He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. There's no thirsting for the things of the world, they've taken wings. Long ago I gave them up, and instantly all my night was turned to day, all my burdens rolled away. Now the Comforter abides with me. He abides, He abides, hallelujah, He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. All right, remain standing for just a moment. Let's turn over to number one and make sure 67. Oh, I want to see him. Do you want to see him? Do you? Sing like you want to see him. First and last verse. Oh, I want to see him. As I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary through the crimson fall. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but my Lord leads me on, through Him I must win. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When before me billows rise from the mighty deep, then my Lord directs my bark, He does safely keep. and He leads me gently on through this world below. He's a real friend to me. Oh, I love Him so. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice.
Amen. You be seated. Amen. One of these days, we're going to actually see Him face to face. Amen. Can you imagine? And thought back that song I heard, it's been several weeks ago now, I think I mentioned it. The only scarred thing in heaven will be Jesus. I never thought of it that way, but when I heard that song, I thought, well, that's just amazing. Everything else is going to be fresh and new, but Christ will still have those wounds in His hands, that place on His side. Why? Because that was the sacrifice that He gave that we could have a life. So one of these days, now we see by faith, but one of these days this old body is going to be turned into something incorruptible, and it's going to be perfect, and we'll get to see Him face to face. I praise His name for that. Miss Teresa, I think you're singing for us. You come on the seat. Thank you, Miss Teresa. Amen. If you've been there, you know, I hope you have. I've made statements before. I spend a lot of time in a vehicle, and there's many a times, not as many as I wish, but there's been many a times when God was just so real in that car. He's almost scared to look over because you knew He was sitting right there beside of you. Just being God.
Amen.
Just nothing like it. So I appreciate His presence. People talking about, you know, we're talking about going to heaven, things of that nature. And I do. I look forward to that day. But we don't have to wait till then. We can have God every day. We can spend time talking with Him, enjoying Him. And so I encourage you to do that. Ezekiel chapter 22 this evening. Ezekiel chapter 22. We made mention of it this morning. This is where we would be. Hope the Word of God will help us this evening. That's our desire. Surely don't want to be a hurt, but we sure want it to be a help. Ezekiel chapter 22 this evening. When you found your place, if you can, you would stand together as we read the Word of God. Ezekiel chapter 22. We're going to begin reading in verse 30. And this is the Lord speaking. He says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore I have poured out my indignation upon them. I have submitted them unto the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God." Father, we do ask once again for your power. God, I know tonight, God, your word will not return void. I know it will accomplish what it's set forth to do. And God, I pray tonight, God, as we hear what saith the Scriptures, God, that you'd help us, Lord, just to be what you'd have us to be, Lord. And God, we thank you again for the opportunity. And we'll give you the praise, honor, and glory for it all. For it's in your precious name I do pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening. And you've probably heard these verses before. You probably heard that statement there found in verse number 30 about a man to, you know, make up the hedge and stand in the gap. But I want to look at the whole part of it this evening. And as I mentioned this morning, America's in a mess. We know that. But we can talk about it and talk about it and talk about it. When I was at Freightliner years ago, I kid you not, I think we had meetings just so we could have a meeting. Talk about a meeting to have another meeting. I mean, that seems like, and eventually I asked, do we ever do anything? Because all we done was talk about it. And sometimes I feel the same way about me and I feel about the church. You know, we can talk about all the problems. We can talk about how bad it is. But are we doing anything to resolve? And that's what God's looking for here this evening. And as you look through these scriptures, and let's back up just a little bit this evening. The whole chapter here is worth going back and reading, but we won't take the time to do that this evening. Go back to verse number 23, and I'll just sort of give you a glimpse of what the nation of Israel was at this time. "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion raving to the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasures and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things and have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither hath they showed difference between the unclean and the clean and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princess is in the midst thereof, are like wolves raving the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempted mortar, seeing vanity and divine lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land hath used oppression and exercise robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. They have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And then God says there's an answer. Here again, as we read these verses tonight, I can't help but think of the same condition I believe that America's in tonight. As you look at the problem of that day, it's so evident that it's the same problem today. There's three areas in those verses that I read about mankind. The very first thing that we could look at is, again, and the most important thing, is the priest. And how the church, and it wasn't the church like we have today, but how the priests and the prophets had failed. They had not become, they were no longer shepherds of the flock. They were the hireling that was there for the job and the money. They were doing things as God says here. They said God said when God never said. And there's a lot of churches and a lot of preachers today that don't even know God. They speak and they use God as a tool to gain and to prey on other people, just as they did here. And it's sad that our churches and our country is seeing that effect over and over, and it's getting worse and worse. So not only do we see how the priests and the prophets failed, but we also then see how the government failed. It talks about how they, as that government, showed forth that greed. And boy, look at our government today. But why is it that way? I've seen a little saying that, I can't think of his name right off the top of it. He was in the runnings when Trump, the black gentleman, he was one of the secretaries of something. Yeah. Being car, he made a statement about government, and I thought, he says, you know, people have looked at government to solve the problem and never realized that government is the problem. And I thought, so true. But here in these words, God shows that the country is in the mess it's in because, first of all, the church wasn't right. Then, second of all, the government wasn't right. And I believe the government wasn't right because the church wasn't right. And so the government there, they talks about its greed and its self-serving. And boy, I'm telling you today, there's a lot of pockets get greased in Washington, if you don't know that already. So their greed and then their dishonesty. So again, that is the same thing we see today in our generation. So we see the priests, how they failed, and then we see how government failed. And then the results of the priests and the government, the people have failed and fallen. It caused the people to look away from God and not want anything to do with a true and living God. And boy, today it looks like even in the church house, it seems like churches, and even that's starting to weigh a little bit. I talk to preachers from time to time, and I know me and Brother Knox have said it before. You know, I've seen such a transition, and I'll use the quotes of religion. You know, we used to have the denomination things, of course. You know, you got your Baptist and the Methodist and all that. But then we've gone beyond that, and we went to non-denomination stuff. And then we've got a lot of these come-as-you-are type places with all the modern things, and people flock there. And now people don't even flock there anymore. And nowadays, people just don't want anything to do with God. Amen. That didn't happen overnight. We've been in a steady progression or degression. And over the days, this is where it's leading. It's exactly what we find here in Ezekiel chapter 22. But I'm glad that there is hope. As God here shows forth the problem, God also shows forth an answer. And what was the answer? Here in verse number 30, quickly, the Bible says here, and God sought. God's looking for somebody. God says, I sought for a man among them. Tonight, God is looking for somebody singular, individually, that will be, I used to say when I worked third shift, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. We ought to be that same thing in our day of this, our spiritual matters. I'm tired of seeing all the things that are happening, and I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired of how things are going. And God's looking for somebody to say, enough's enough. Tonight, God's looking for you to make some decisions. He's looking for me to make some decisions. The easiest thing to do is nothing. You know what it accomplishes? Nothing. Well, preacher, what if I fail? If you do nothing, you automatically fail. Doing nothing should not be even a choice. Well, preacher, I can't do everything. God didn't ask you to do everything. He basically asks you to do two things here in these verses. God is looking for a person, man, and even female. You know, there is a difference. We hit that this morning. God is looking for somebody for a specific task. And it's very easy. He says, I looked for a man here in verse number 30. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land. God says, I'm looking for somebody that'll stand there between him and them to do what? To make up the hedge. That hedge is a place of protection. That hedge is something that divides. And friend, today there is a division. Today the lines have got sort of muddy, and sometimes people can't see there is a line. You know, Moses can't come down on the mountain that day, and he had the law of God in his hands, and they were down there partying, doing their stuff, and got Moses mad, and he throws the stones down, and he draws a line in the sand. He says, if you're for God, get on this side. And if you're not for God, stay where you are. People got up, not all of them, not even the majority of them, got up and said, I'll get on that side because I'm with God. And that's exactly what God's looking for right here. He's looking for somebody that says, I don't care what they say about me. I don't care what they talk about me. I don't care how they look at me. All I care about is doing what God wants me to do. Listen, friend, I'm not accountable. I am somewhat with pastoring, but as a saved, born-again child of God, when I stand before the Lord, you know who I'm going to get an answer for? Me. You know who you're going to give an answer for? You. And there'll be no excuses. You're going to be there, and it just amazes me when my mind starts. You know, we're so technology today, you know. We got all these computers and all these things that do so many different things. God knows every thought that I ever thunk. God knows every word that I ever said. Right and wrong. Isn't that scary? There'll be no muddy water then. It's yes or no. And we're not judged because of sin, because our sins have been paid for. What are we judged for? For our actions. What we did after we were saved. All those times that God says, I'm looking for somebody that'll go down the road and knock on the door. I'm looking for somebody that'll go to our young people and stand and cry aloud. God is still looking for those people. And it's easy for you and I to sit here tonight and say, well, that's good for old so-and-so. He ought to be doing that. No, friend. When you point at so-and-so, you got three pointing back at you. It's me. I'm the one that God's looking for. You're the one that God's looking for. To stand there and make up that hedge. Be that protection. Be that line that's drawn in the sand. Between who? God and them. Not only is he looking for a man that will make up that hedge, but he's also looking for someone that'll stand in the gap. See, sin has got man separated from God. There's a gap between man and God is looking for somebody that'll stand there and make up that gap between God and the world. He's looking for a man. What kind of man? What kind of person do you think God would be looking for? Well, let me say this before I get into a few of the things. See, we as humans, many times, and listen, I know, we think that God's looking for somebody that's qualified. Go look through the Bible. Go look at Hebrews chapter 11 and all those great men of faith and women of faith. Were they qualified to do what God wanted them to do? Look at Moses. God found Moses on the backside of the desert and had that burning bush and says, Moses, I want you to go and tell Pharaoh to let my children go. And Moses started stuttering. Moses started backing up. Moses started making excuses. You think God would tell a man to do something and be mistaken that he's not the right person to do it? That's sort of dumb, isn't it? Look at Jonah. Jonah had a task to be done. Jonah had a great task to be done. And Jonah says, I ain't doing that. I can't do that. I don't even like them people. So he tried to run from God. But God had a way to get him. And God's got a way to get your attention too. But until we see the burdens, until we see the need of somebody to be that one, isn't it amazing that God, I mean, how big's our God? He only spoke into existence everything that we see and hear. He made the sun. He made the moon. He put things in order. He made man. He made it all. Then why can't God just do it himself? It's not the way God works, is it? God has chosen. Oh, he can make the rocks cry out. He made a donkey to talk. He made the ravens to come and feed the man of God. So I'm pretty sure if he can use a donkey, he can use somebody like me. And I would say, and I'm not calling you a donkey, but if he can use a donkey and he can use a donkey preacher, surely he can use you too. Then why aren't we being used? Why aren't we seeing that hedge and that gap fulfilled? God is not looking for a man that's qualified. God will qualify the man that surrenders. Look, hold your place there in Ezekiel. Look over the book of Isaiah. These are the verses that my pastor on the altar at Friendship Baptist Church, as I was throwing up the surrender flag, I've been fighting it and fighting it and fighting it for weeks upon weeks. I was miserable because I was telling God no. Still remember my pastor. I was on that altar weeping, and God, my pastor came down and says, what can I pray with you about? And I'll never forget, I looked him eyeball to eyeball and I said, you know exactly what I need. He turned over to this chapter here of Isaiah chapter 6. Look with me. See, God's looking for a man. Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. Verse 3, and one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Verse 5, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. See, Isaiah quickly understood who he was. When you're in the presence of God, you'll understand who you are. Sometimes we walk a little high and mighty, don't we? Sometimes we get a little too big for your britches, as my mama used to say. But when God's in front of you, you'll not be high and mighty. You won't be too big for your britches. Isaiah, when he saw the Lord, he instantly realized exactly who he was. He was a man that was undone. He was a man of unclean lips. We find here, verse 6, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Verse 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, notice, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? That's what God was saying in Ezekiel. God looked at the situation. God looked at the wickedness that had grown up in his people, and saw the mess of the church, and saw the mess of government, and saw the mess of mankind in itself. And God says, I need a man. That's the way God works. God chooses to use you as a vessel. But there are vessels of honor and there are vessels of dishonor. I want to be a vessel that brings honor to God. And here Isaiah, he cries out before God of who he was. But God had an answer how to fix him, didn't he? God sent that seraphim to put a coal off the altar to his lips and told him that now his lips were clean. His sins were purged. Did you notice he said it was a live coal? Aren't you glad we serve a living Savior? Isaiah heard God ask that question. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I. And this is us tonight. Again, you make the choice. I can't make anybody do anything. But God's asking you, friend. God's saying there's a mess in our nation. The churches are a mess. The government's a mess. Mankind is a mess. And God's asking, who can I send? And then also, who will go? See, a lot of people, times God will say, I need you to do something. But see, you've been given free will. He can ask, but that don't mean you'll do. God's saying, who can I send? But also, who will go? God will send you. Will you go? Preacher, I don't want to go to Africa. God's not asking you to go to Africa. Maybe He is. I don't know. But I'm pretty sure if you won't go talk to your neighbor, God's not going to send you all the way across the ocean to talk to that people in some tribe. Pretty sure about that. Maybe you don't have stories like this. I do. There's times that God has told me, you know, God talks to you. The Spirit of God that dwells within me. He'll impress upon my heart to give somebody a tract. But I'm busy. I got to go. That's my life. I always got to go. I got to go. But God says, give that guy a track. I'll be reminded one day at the judgment seat how many times I didn't do that. Has God ever told you to do something? As simple as giving somebody a track? As simply making a phone call? Who should I send? But more than that, who will go? Verse 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? I still like that word us there. God is a Trinity. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's an us. Who will go for us? Then said, I, here am I. Send me. Tonight, that's what God's wanting from each one of us. From the young to the old, if you're a child of God, God says, who can I send and who will go? And we ought to jump up. I've talked to some of these guys that's in the military. And I was always under the impression, not just these guys, but I've heard people say, never volunteer for nothing. Because you don't know what you're getting yourself into. But then I've also heard that word called, you're voluntold. We're going to be nice and ask you, but then when you don't do it, we're going to make you. That's voluntold. But here God's saying, will somebody just step up? Wouldn't you think somebody that truly understood what God has done for us, what God is doing for us, what God's going to do for us? If God said, hey, I need something, we ought to run to the front of the line. Here, Lord, I'll do it. But as we find here in these verses in Ezekiel, God was looking for a man. Somebody that would say, Lord, here am I. I'll do it. Whatever it is, I'll do it. So Isaiah says, I'll do it. He says, I'm here. I just send me. And he said, go and tell the people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of the people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and covet and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitants and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. When do you quit? When do you say enough's enough? When do you say somebody else can do it? Isaiah says, how long, Lord? God says, till there's no more hope. Good friend of mine. He's a deacon in my home church, Mike Barnett. It's Michael Barnett's daddy, for you that know Michael. He'll say this, still says it. He says, as long as there's breath, there's hope. Have we give up hope? God's not give up hope. Isaiah says, here am I, send me. So what kind of man, again, we find back over in Ezekiel, God says, I'm looking for somebody, a man that will make up the hedge and stand in that gap for me. So what kind of man do you think God wants? First of all, God's wanting a saved man. God won't use, well, he does use Pharaoh. He uses the world to do things at times, but he's looking for somebody to stand between him and people. He's looking for a saved person. Are you saved? You qualified. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. He's looking for a man of faith. How much faith do you have? Oh, I got a lot of faith. Do you? God says if you had the faith of a mustard seed, what would happen? Do y'all read your Bibles? God said if you had a faith of a mustard seed, you could tell that mountain to move. And it would move. So apparently, I must not have enough faith the size of a mustard seed. Or we'd be seeing some mountains moved. God's just looking for a man that believes Him, puts their faith in Him, that doesn't question Him. A man of faith, a man of prayer. Can you pray? We can all pray. Are you praying? A man of prayer. A man with a burden. See, I think that's one of the biggest things that we miss in our day. Do you really have a burden for the lost? Or have we just got to the point that we just believe there's no hope? God's looking for somebody with a burden. God's looking for somebody that loves the Word of God and believes the Word of God. God's looking for a man that will make up the hedge, stand in the gap. Then look here, what a sad statement. It says, I sought for a man. That means he's actively looking among them. That should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me in the land, that I should not destroy it. Oh, no, how sad. But I found none. Can you imagine? God's people had got so far away from God. The church was corrupt. The government was corrupt. People were corrupt. And God looked at all of those people and says, I'm looking for there to be one. Wouldn't you think there'd be one? And God says, I don't even find one. I hope as God looks at us tonight, that couldn't be said about Gospel Light Baptist Church. I hope that God would look at us and we'd be like Isaiah and say, Lord, here am I. Would you send me? I'll go. And God said, I found none. But then here's the real kicker too. You know, I'm saved. Hope you're saved. I'm going to heaven when I die. I hope you're going to heaven when you die. I have eternal life. I hope you have eternal life. I have a sealed, solid, secure salvation. Nothing can take my salvation away. I can't take it. God won't take it. This world can't steal it. I am signed, sealed, and almost delivered one of these days. I got all of that. So why should I care? Why should I give of myself? Why should I say, Lord, I'll go? Look at the consequence. It says, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me in the land, and that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore, have I poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. I'm going to say everybody in here knows that one day, when the church is raptured out, there's coming a time, that great tribulation. Something that this world has never seen. The wrath of God will fall upon mankind. We went through the book of Revelations. We talked about those things that God will be doing through that great time there of trouble. People are going to die. A lot of people are going to die. Oh, preacher, but we'll make it through. If you can't make it through now, you'll never make it through then. That great tribulation. And God says, I'm looking for somebody that will stand there and make up that hedge and stand there and fill in that gap, because these people need to hear me and see me. And God says, I didn't find a one. So God says, I'm going to burn this place down. I'm going to destroy it all. All because he couldn't find a man. Do you know today that people are dying 2 every second, I think it is, if I remember right, over this world? People are dying. People are going out into eternity. Did anybody stand in that place? Did anybody say, look and live? Most people never hear it. You would think with all the technologies, you would think with all the capabilities that man has, that it would be nothing for us to get the gospel around the world. But there's very little being done. Well, preacher, it's just us. We're just a dot. But we got a big God. Remember the disciples there? They came into that city and this is how they were known. The ones that turned the world upside down, they're here. You think that same God could turn the world upside down through us? I believe he can. I want you to think for a moment the consequences of not doing what God's called you to do. I've made mention of this several times, and I'll keep making the mention of this. Over there in Matthew, it talks about those that cry out to God, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name? Lord, did I not do this? Do I not do that? And what did God say? I never knew you. Oh, that's got to be just terrible. But then he says that statement about, he says, bind them up and cast them out into that darkness. And this is what I'm asking. I don't know this for sure. I don't have any Bible to back it up. But I wonder if it's going to be somebody like me that God's going to look at and says, you go get him and cast him out into hell. I ask you to go tell him about me. I ask you to give him the gospel. I ask you to witness to him and to pray for him. And now he's going to die. He's died and he's going to hell. You cast him out into that place. Somebody's going to cast him. Makes logic to me that it would be us. Not too joyful, is it? Well, preacher, I can't make them get saved. I'm not accountable to what they do. I'm accountable to what I do. We're going to stand before that judgment seat. We're going to stand there and give an account. No excuses. Think just again. Think. God says, I look for that man. Anybody, somebody that will just stand up and say, I'll fight. I'll do whatever I can, Lord. Here am I. And God says, I didn't find one. And because of that, God says, I'm going to pour it out on them. Tonight, this world still, there's hope. How do you know, preacher? The Lord ain't come back yet. The Lord's still saving. The Lord's still working, but he needs a man. Would you be that man? Would you be that lady that would surrender as Isaiah did? Hear my Lord. If you tell me to go, I'll go. That's exactly what I told the Lord that night there at Friendship Baptist Church on the altar on this side of the church. I can still picture that place. I told God, I said, Lord, I don't know what you want, Lord, but I know you want something. And Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do my best.
to do. I'll do my best to go. And I'm still holding on to that. I failed miserably. Miserably. But I try my best. If God speaks, I want to listen. Amen. And when I hear, I want to do. It's important that God would ask me, that God would ask you to do something for Him. He doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the ones He calls. Would you say as Isaiah, "Hear my Lord"? It's all we're asking. It's all God's asking. Preacher, I can't do a whole lot. Don't you think God knows what you can and can't do? Better than you do. If you'll just surrender. Let's stand together this evening. Thank you so much for being here tonight. I hope you'll take a really good look. The churches have become a problem. We've watered down the gospel. We've changed the word of God. Churches are accepting anything and everything. God says, no, there's a line in the sand. God don't accept everything. You've got to be born again. The only way. The only door. There's a consequence. I'm afraid I'm going to stand for God before God one day and I'm going to have bloody hands. Why? Because the Bible says if I don't tell them, their blood is upon my hands. But not just me. Everyone that claims to know Christ. Hear my Lord. Well, preacher, I don't know what He wants me to do. Just make yourself available. Hear my Lord. Brother Poppin, if you'll sing a verse tonight, you need to slip around this altar. You come. You do business with God this evening.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I believe. I will never love and trust Him.
God used a little old shepherd boy by the name of David. God used a murderer by the name of Moses. God can use you. Let's go sing another verse or some around the altar praying. What about you?
I bow, worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my
Miss Karen's going to play this a little bit longer. Some folks are still praying. Maybe right now God's asking you, will you go? Will you be that one that will make up that hedge? You'll be that one that stands in the gap between God and man and say, I'll go, I'll do, I'll say, I'll cry. Brother George tells me every once in a while a message that I don't actually remember it, but George, it touched his heart. He says, I made a statement that says, if not you, who? If you don't go, who's going to go? Oh, God's will be done. I lose out because I don't mind the Lord. We're not talking about a job. We're not talking about a game. We're talking about somebody's eternity. Either they're going to spend eternity in a place called heaven that God is going to prepare for somebody like me and you, or they're going to spend eternity in a lake of fire where God never desired them to go. The Lord Himself came into His own, the Bible says, and His own wouldn't even receive Him. His own mocked Him. His own beat Him. His own spit on Him. His own killed Him. If He was willing to do that for me, what are we willing to do for Him? It's not asking you to die on a cross. We're living sacrifices. Folks are still praying. Maybe you're praying where you're at. I don't know. When's the last time you talked with the Lord? When's the last time He talked with you? When's the last time you heard the voice of the shepherd? Me and my wife went out this afternoon and checked the cows before we come to church because I wanted to make sure everybody was good. Drove out in that pasture and I started hollering for them. And they all came a-running. I hope God's sheep does the same thing when He calls. Our Father, we do thank You, Lord, again for the good day. Thank You, Lord, for how You've blessed. Thank You for the Word of God. The Holy Ghost, God, that leads us and guides us, that strengthens us. God, I just pray, Lord, You'd help us to see in a different way. God, give us the right spirit, the right attitude, the right mindset. God, help us to make every chance we have to do something for You count. For the days are getting short. Time's drawing near. God, the fields are white unto harvest. Help us to be busy about Your business, Lord. Give us a boldness. Lord, help us to see that without You we can do nothing, but with You we can do all things. God, help us tonight. Give safety as we travel home. Lord, I pray, God, that You'll give us rest. And Lord, if You allow us to have another day tomorrow, I pray we would die to ourselves. And God, let You shine out of us throughout the day. Lord, we sure love You. Thank You for loving somebody like me. And Lord, we'll just continue our best. I try to lift You up and praise You. For it's in Your precious, Your holy name we do pray. Amen. God bless you. Hope you all have a good evening.